Hey guys, that's right. I see you. That's awesome. I'm so glad to be here. But before I get started, I just want to take a minute. One of our values here at Life Community Church is that we're an uprising of honor. That means we honor God first and foremost. We honor our pastors. We honor each other. So we're an uprising of honor. I just want to take a minute because I couldn't do this if he were here. He would not like that very much, I don't think. So I just want to honor our pastor that he leads so well. And in these times that could feel uncertain, the times where we're not really even sure, when we got all this news, not really sure what our next steps were going to be, he never wavered. He said, guys, we've got this. God's got a plan bigger than we could even dream for ourselves. We're going to walk it out. He's a man of integrity. I have served alongside him and under him for 9 years, and I have seen where it could have all gone wrong, and it never did. He's a man of strength and humility and so much love for his church. And I just want you to know that today, because he probably wouldn't want me to say that if he were here. He's so humble. So let's just cue clap. Let's just give him a round. Yeah. Now, in meeting with Pastor Tim, when he told me I was going to conclude the reverse series, of course, y'all know I'm excited anytime I get to get up here. But I kind of laughed out loud when he told me what verse I'd be doing. Because it's one of those verses that gets misused and has probably been misquoted by me more than any other verse in Scripture. It's said from free throw lines and locker rooms and huddles on the field. It's on Steph Curry's shoes and Tim Tebow's eye black. Y'all know what verse I'm talking about, don't you? Philippians, what? 4:13. I can do all things through who? Christ, who gives me strength. That's right. We're going to dig that out a little bit and figure out what Paul's intention was in writing the Church of Philippi, what his purpose was, what his heart was, and what we can hear at Life Community Church today. Are y'all ready? All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much. You are so good. I pray every heart that is in this room is opened up to hear your word today, God. What you are deliberately speaking to them. You brought them here with great purpose. Let your power flow in them and through them today. We love you and we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with Philippians 4. I'm going to start with a little bit of backstory, just a couple verses, 11 through 13. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Y'all see that word learned, right? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have what? Learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. The title of my message today is Even If. That will make sense in a minute, but even if. So when we look at what Paul's saying here, we see the word content quite a few times. The thread through Philippians is contentment, freedom, and joy. Those are the three things we'll see echoed over and over in the book that he wrote to a church that he dearly loves while in chains. When we look at the word contentment, man, it gets a bad rap. But what it means is this satisfaction, this soul place that's so deep and so rich, a soul satisfaction and a freedom from worry. Whew, who don't want some of that? What contentment doesn't mean? Complacency, laziness, apathy, lack of ambition. It doesn't mean any of those things. See, it's quite the contrary. Because righteous ambition, we see throughout the history of the Bible, driving a soul-satisfied person. We look at David, and we see that righteous ambition drove him to want to build a temple for God. It drove Solomon to actually build it. It drove Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. It drove Paul to go into places where no one had ever been, saying who Jesus is and how good he is. It drove Jesus himself all the way to a cross to die for the sins of the world. Yeah, don't be confused about what contentment means and what Paul is telling us we need. It's a choice. It's an action. See, I can go to school and I be like, oh, I'm just going to tune out. This teacher is talking to me right now. Or I can go and I can learn. I can come to church and I can have a rebellious spirit. I was like, don't teach me nothing. I know it all. I read my word. Or you can say, I want to learn. I know that this walk of life is a process, but I want to learn. So I'm going to keep learning, and I'm going to keep learning, and I'm going to keep growing, because by golly, my Jesus is never done with me. He's always teaching me, always growing me. And so when we look at Paul's life, we have to backtrack a little bit. So I'm going to go to when Paul was Saul. I'm going to go to Acts 9. So we're going back to the beginning of his story. Saul was a man. He was a mean old man. He hated Christians. He persecuted them. He imprisoned them. He was, quite frankly, a really terrible guy. He was on the way to Damascus. Most of you know this story. A bright light shone. Paul was blinded. He went on to the town, to a house, and 3 days, 3 nights, he was blinded. He didn't eat or drink, the Bible says, for those days. God sent a man named Ananias. Acts 9, 17 through 21 reads like this out of the Passion Translation. Ananias left and found the house where Saul was staying. He went inside and laid hands on him, saying, Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you so that you might see again and be what? Filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now catch this. All at once, right after Ananias prayed, be filled to overflowing. All at once, the crusty substance, or the scale, some translations say, that was over Saul's eyes disappeared and he could see perfectly. Immediately, he got up and was baptized. After eating a meal, his strength returned within the hour. Right? I'm just going to tell y'all, that could preach 3 days in an hour. That could be a sermon title. I just helped y'all out. Within the hour, he was in the synagogues preaching about Jesus and proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. The once persecutor was now praising. He said, no, this radical transformation, I can't sit still. I can't be healed and not do something about it. I have to tell people the good news. See, what we learn from Paul in this story, or excuse me, Saul, don't see through the lens of your past. That's the greatest way for the enemy to hold you still. See, because I'm not who I was yesterday. And what I was yesterday is not what I am today. And how I was yesterday is not how I am today. It's a choice every day for me to say, Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm going to follow that with everything in me. It's a choice. Acts 16, you guys know this. Moving along in Paul's life, he and Silas was one of his friends. They were actually in Philippi, which the cool part is that's who he's writing to later. He loved Philippi. Silas and Paul are chained. They have been accused of setting free a little girl who was carrying a demon. They were accused. They're put in prison. Here they are. It's cold. They're hungry. They're probably tired. And they're in chains. Physical chains. Acts 16, 25 tells us this. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God. While all, it doesn't say some, while all of the prisoners listened to their worship. See, what Paul said here is, I might be in chains. I might be stuck. I might be sitting here. I may not be as mobile as I used to be. But anyone who can hear me, anyone who can listen to the praise on my lips, then I will press into everything that he has. I will let them know. I will not give up. See, Paul tells us, he tells us right here, that we don't let yesterday's wounds prevent today's worship. Because we know the story. The earthquake came, the chains fell off, and the jail keeper was saved, his whole family baptized. I mean, glory to God, it was a beautiful story. But Paul's saying, I'm not going to allow my circumstances, my condition, to dictate my contentment, to dictate my praise, to dictate who God is to me, because he never gave up. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, again, we're continuing to look at Paul's life. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I mean, that's a serious story here. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, from Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked, besides everything else. Listen to what he's saying right here. Besides all of this, besides all the things that I didn't even write about, besides all of it, I face daily, daily the concern for the church. Do you hear what Paul's telling us? Because later we're going to read about the book that he wrote to the church in Philippi in Philippians. He cares so much about the local church, for its health, for its unity, that he says, I face daily. I'm not even going to talk about all these other things that I faced, all this other hardship and pain and ache and abandonment. I face daily the pressure of my concern for the church. Moving into Philippians 1, 12 through 14, excuse me. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more. Did y'all catch that? They dare all the more. Because of my chains, because of what they've seen me do in these chains, because of my chains, they dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Huh. Yeah. They could easily say, why? I'm scared. I might get locked up. I can't do this. I can't proclaim the gospel. They're saying, no. Let me be clear that they are confident in the Lord, regardless of circumstances. A well of satisfaction, a well of freedom over worry about the what ifs. True contentment breaks the chain of worry and moves us to freedom. Philippians 3, 17 through 20. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, he's speaking of he and Timothy, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears. Can't you see pen to paper, the tears streaming down his cheek as he is so pained for the church in Philippi, as he is so pained for Life Community Church, as he is so pained for every church in America that is following Jesus Christ. Many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. See, our anointing could be held captive if we see the wrong atmosphere. Paul could have said, well, this is my station in life. I'm just going to wrap it up and do my time. I'm just going to get through this, and I'm not going to make any waves or shake anything up. He said, oh, no. I'm going to praise all the way back to freedom because I'm free. I may be bound, but I'm free. And I'm going to get other people free. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be ashamed. And I'm not going to let another moment go by that I can't say to somebody else, Jesus loves you. He's a holy God, and he wants for your freedom. Yeah. So as we go back to Philippians 11 through 13, I have learned to be content, whatever. When I don't understand, when I feel really lost, when I feel really hurt, when I feel abandoned, when I'm walking through something that no one sees, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. He's like, let me let y'all in on a secret here, right? Everybody wants to know a secret, don't they? Something in our human side comes out when we hear a secret. Oh, okay. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives us strength. See, Paul wants us to learn. I want you to catch this. Paul wants us to learn, but he also wants you to recognize your chain. We've all got one. Yours is probably going to be different than mine. Chain of hurt, chain of abuse, chain of unforgiveness, chain of offense, chain of bitterness, chain of addiction, chain after chain after chain. There would be so many words if I asked you all to yell out your word. There would be so many words that would come out of your mouths right now in recognizing your chain. It's imperative that we recognize our chain to be able to move forward to our freedom and soul satisfaction that Paul's talking about. See, he's saying, I've learned. I've learned to recognize my chains. I understand what they are, and I call them out, and I say no more. See, many of you know that the staff went to Hillsong Conference in New York. We had a great time. We learned so much. It was very busy days. I did not have originally a story for this piece of my message. I was just going to keep on rolling about Paul until this happened. Then I realized there was something worth talking about there. So on night 3, a few of us were really tired. We were probably all really tired, but we were not wanting to have a 1 a.m. bedtime. So we were hoping to grab a little extra time on our evening. And so we said, hey, anyone who wants me and Natalie and Nicole, Nicole's our children's pastor, Natalie's Pastor Tim's assistant, in case you don't know, the 3 of us were going to go across the street and pick up a to-go order. Simple. So 7 people wanted the order. So we're like, sweet. And okay, let me just tell y'all before I go any further. The trip to our hotel and from it is so simple. Okay, it couldn't have been any simpler. It was a straight shot and a turn. I mean, it was like easy, easy. Or we thought. So we go get the food. we're out. We kind of get ushered out this side door, and then we're looking for our crew. We're like, oh, we don't see them. It's no big deal. We'll beat them back, actually. We were so proud of ourselves. You know, we were carrying the bags of food, and there was so much energy in the streets of Brooklyn, New York. I mean, it was like, yeah. So many people had come out of the conference, and we were like, well, hey, how you doing? Yeah, let's go, let's go. We were all just talking and excited, and we were just kind of rolling with one another. Natalie and Nicole and I realized, no one's actually leading the three of us. We're just all walking. So at one point, in all the hustle and hub of the streets and the action, I say, ladies, we've gone too far. Something is wrong. Then I have this fella who comes up right here. And if y'all know me, you know my first instinct would have been to go like that. So it was really a miracle that I didn't, like, hurt him in any way. He was in my space. And if y'all know me, I don't really like all of that right there. On the streets of New York, that was even more important. So I immediately said, hey. And he said, what you looking for? And I've also seen every suspenseful movie that there is and always said, that silly girl, why did she say that? I could have saved her life. I was the girl. Oh, we're looking for so-and-so hotel. Gotcha. No problem. You're going to go right down this alley, and then you're going to take a turn, and you'll see this landmark. It's going to be super easy. You're almost there. Okay. Again, this is what movies are made of, y'all. So we walk. We're like, thanks, sir. Thank you. I'm, you know, just trusting that he was a kind citizen of New York. So we're walking, we're going, and we're like, yeah, we're almost there. Okay, we got our bags. We're not too behind. We've been walking longer than we should have been, so we knew that they had probably beat us back. None of those landmarks, none of those signs. Natalie whips out her IMAPs, which, note to all in the room, don't work in the city with the buildings. So we're on this mission, and we are following IMAX. I mean, who has been lost in the last 10 years, right, with smartphones? I mean, there's no way to get lost, or so we thought. So here we are, we're following it. We're okay. We're still kind of powering through. We're like, we can do this, y'all. We can do this. We might be three ladies, but we got this. The streets became more desolate. They became more scary. We saw things that I don't want to see. Things I can't say from here. We were in the dark of night. We were in the seedy places. We were in the alleys. And we didn't know how to get ourselves out. See, we didn't set out hoping to help our group that night, thinking we were going to get lost. And at one point, I pull out my IMAPs, and Natalie's got hers, and Nicole says, which way? And I say, this way, and Natalie says, this way. Time out. Time out. Nope. We're done. Natalie pulls out her phone finally. Now, y'all, we've been going for a while. We've been walking for a while. She calls an Uber, which, listen, we should have thought about 45 minutes earlier, but we didn't. It is what it is. Seriously, the stuff movies are made of. I'm not lying. Everything smart you think you're going to do in crisis, I realize that I somehow failed. So we call an Uber, and our sweet little Uber driver, Roger, I will never forget his name. He comes in his cool little BMW and picks us up, and he's smiling. You know, he's so happy. And so I jump in the front seat with Roger, and they jump in the back. And we tell him, well, he already knows our location, but we tell him again. And I said, Roger, I need you to know something. You have probably heard this before, but you quite possibly saved three ladies' lives tonight. We were lost, and now we're found. We were scared, and somehow now I have a joy. And he said to me, how'd you end up here? I said, Roger, it was a series of unfortunate events. He said, where were you coming from? And I said, from the Barclays Center to this hotel and somewhere where, I don't even know, we're over here. He looked at me with his little Jamaican accent and says, tell no one this story ever. I said, why, Roger? What happened? He said, because you were supposed to go from here to here. Blip, blip. You're over here. Miles. Miles, he tells me, away from our hotel. See, what the enemy said is, I'm going to isolate you. I'm going to drag out fear in you. See, you just learned a lot of good stuff, but watch me derail it in a second. You know what we heard that day? Is that the enemy's weapon of choice is shame. Immediately where I went. I went to this place of shame. I'm supposed to be a leader. I can't lead these two women on the streets of New York when it's blip, blip. I mean, literally. I can't even do that right. So we get back and we start handing out food. You know, me and Natalie are just handing it out furiously. Because we are in the weeds here. Like, we have made them wait. Poor Pastor Tim has called, like, a few times. Like, where are y'all at? Like, something's gone desperately wrong. And I remember being so embarrassed and trying to hide it with laughter and jokes. The weapon of the enemy was shame. How could you get lost? How did you let this happen? Why are you letting him rob your joy from everything that I had just learned? See, what I learned that evening is, truth is, the real chains are on the inside. They're not on the outside. See, everything, every lie, every burden that was coming at me felt so heavy. It felt so afraid of the what ifs. I woke the next morning. I still felt a little salty, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't like the night changed it. I was still a little upset. I was upset with the enemy. I was upset with myself. I was still, I just probably wasn't real nice to be around. I'm not going to lie. But I went to that conference that next morning. And he told me, I just want you to worship me. I want you to worship me through your shame. I want you to worship me in full surrender. I want you to worship me through your pain. I want you to worship me through your embarrassment. I want you to worship me through anything that is bogging you down. I want you to worship. I want you to worship through it all until you can't worship anymore. And then, and only then, will I give you freedom. Worship and surrender. Worship when you don't feel like it. Worship no matter. Because the best response to what the enemy means for your harm is praising your way to freedom. See, Philippians, it's a book about freedom written from prison. It's a book about joy in the midst of pain, and it's a book about contentment while in bondage. Paul says, I want you to change your if-thens to even if. Aren't we such a people that loves if-thens? Well, if I lose this 10 pounds, I'm going to feel really good about myself. And if I had a bigger house, then I could have people over. And if I was smarter, then I could have got the promotion. Instead of saying, when I'm lost to being found, even if I'm lost, I will praise you until I'm found. Even if I am stressed, I will walk out in faith. even if the enemy wants to lie to me today, I will praise you all the way back to my freedom. See, it may look like the devil's winning. It may look like hell's about to celebrate. But I'm here to tell you, it's not what it seems. I'm here to tell you to put the devil on notice. Because what looks like defeat will in turn be your greatest victory. The Passion Translation reads Philippians 4:11-13 like this. I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. I am trained, there's that process. I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power, isn't that a beautiful picture? His explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. His explosive power infuses us to conquer every difficulty. In Romans, Paul wrote, God made us more than conquerors. So you are able. You are strong. You are a defeater of the enemy. You are powerful. You are capable. When it looks like you aren't, remember I am. And when it looks like you won't, remember who will. And when life binds you in chains, praise until they break. And when life throws you rocks, build an altar. And when life lies about your purpose, set your eyes on the one who made your promises. Don't forget who he is and who he's created you to be. Don't stop. Don't let any chains that feel like they have bound you stop you from God's graces, from his kingdom, from all that he has in store for you. See, Paul says, even if I'm hungry, even if I'm cold, even if I'm in chains, even if I don't understand, even if I feel broken. See, the purpose of God is greater than the brokenness of man. And the mistakes of your past will no longer hinder the miracles of your future. And the memories of what you went through will no longer obstruct the mandate of where you're going. You are not defined by your failures. You are defined by his forgiveness. And you are not defined by what you can do for God. You are defined by what God already did for you. He is good. He loves you. He wants you free. He died to set us free. Why don't we carry freedom? Instead, we carry chains. We lug them around and we just pull them around. Oh, these are my chains. Instead, carry his freedom. That's what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to be bound not one more second. You walked in here today. There was anointing on your seat. There was power, his explosive power, to infuse you today, to fill you to the point of overflowing. He wants you. He sees you. Even if, right now I want every one of you to think of the chain. I want you to recognize the chain that binds you. Bring it to memory. Bring it to your thoughts. I want you to hold it there. There's no reason to say it out loud. The enemy doesn't need any more power. We can give him. God knows. He sees your thoughts. He knows your heart. And I want everyone who can to stand right now. Just stand. And I want you to believe. See, there's movement in standing. I want you to believe that God came ready today to break your chain. Your seat was prayed for your chain to be broken today. So I want in the spirit realm today for there just to be a ringing sound of clanging because the chains are falling off. So right now, as we pray, I just want you to hold that thing. And I want you to say it privately to God. I just want you to lift your hands if you mean it. I just want you to press in. Listen, the first church, y'all, was rowdy. So I mean for y'all to believe it, to feel it, to understand that God came in here today with great purpose over your life. You have to claim that, though. I can't do it for you. You have to want it so desperately for yourself that you say, yes, God, I press into everything that you have for me. I lay down my chain of, and I give it to you right now, Father God. I believe that you want for my freedom. You died on the cross for that exact reason. God, I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit so full that it is overflowing for my very being. God, you want me. You see me. You love me. You created me. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the enemy has to bow, and we claim victory in every life in this room, running full out after you, Father God, running full out after all that you have for them, all of your promises set in motion, God. We thank you that they will not waver, that they will press in, even if we're so stressed we don't know which way to go, even if I have suffered great loss that I can't even put one foot in front of the other. Even if I'm going to lose my house, even if my child is sick, even if addiction is winning, even if I trust you, Father. And I know that you are good. I know that you love me. And I pray right now for a release of chains. They're falling all over this building, God. May your kingdom be lifted high. And if any person here who has not received Jesus as their Savior or needs to say, I have not been living with a soul satisfied. I haven't been living from that place, and I want to know you more, God. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk in true freedom. I give it to you. And we're going to pray together right now. We're all going to say this out loud. Please repeat after me. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to die on a cross for my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner. Yes. But I believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. I receive your free gift of salvation. I am so thankful for the promise of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Even if you can't feel him, he's there. Even if you don't understand, even if God.